Welcome to On the Mark, a podcast series that explores the effect of various businesses from the COVID pandemic and how companies can survive and thrive in these post-COVID times. I'm your host, Howard Mark Rubin, and this podcast series came as a result of my realization that this pandemic has been a once-in-a-generation event that, coupled with technology, has changed the way we interact, the way we do business, and how it's going to change how everything is conducted in the world and makes the world a smaller place. It's had such a diverse effect on industries and the people who work in those industries. We want to address the reality of how, going forward, businesses are going to change and evolve. This podcast series is sponsored by the Strategic Forum, which was founded in 1999 in New York City and expanded in 2004 to South Florida. It's an organization consisting of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business leaders who believe in forming deep business and personal relationships based on mutual respect and trust and continual learning and intellectual enrichment. Current members of the Strategic Forum represent a diverse group of public and private businesses and organizations. Today, we have a member of the forum, someone who I always like speaking to because she's has such a positive outlook on life. Probably she has a positive outlook even on the pandemic, but we'll get into that in a little while. Joining us today is Holland Haas, someone that I've known for some time and is one of the leading members of the Strategic Forum. Holland is a workplace strategist, speaker, and award-winning author. She helps to transform teams and individuals through personal and professional development to increase human performance. She focuses on leadership development as well as increased mental fitness and resilience. Holland was named one of 100 global thought leaders along with Deepak Chopra and Susie Orman for ideas around conscious leadership. And as often seen in and on CNN, ABC, NBC, Inc., Forbes, and many, many more. Holland, welcome.
Thank you so much, Howard. I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Now, I know your superpower being connecting people and how you help companies help their employees and the people that they do business with, their vendors, their customers, to connect in a way that's healthier and better. How would you define what you do?
Well, I would define it as it is, as you stated, it's personal and professional development and growth, and it is transforming leadership through connection. And that is the idea of being conscious, how we connect. So the conscious connection to EQ, to how clearly we communicate, that connection to our focus, our resiliency, our strategy, our innovation. It's so layered when we are truly connected and thinking of bringing value into an organization and what our own superpowers are and where we need to rely on others to support and help us, it really shifts the overall consciousness of an organization and of teams as well.
I've always, maybe I'm old fashioned, but I always like to be in a room with somebody and talk to them. And that's how I did business. Well, with COVID, that became a problem. And I would think that you had to come up with new strategies and new ways to teach and consult with your customers because of the minimal personal contacts. Is that true during the epidemic?
100%. The biggest challenge was that every conference was canceled. And the biggest challenge within organizations is that no one was in person, and yet they wanted training and development to continue. And how do you continue that in the best way when no one is in a shared space? We are all on a screen together, which by the way, when we're all on screens, from a neuroscience perspective, it does change the way we interact with people because our brains are wired to gather and be together in person. We take visual cues off of one another to both relax our brains, relax ourselves. And that's very difficult when it's a head and maybe some shoulders in a box. And the more people you have on screen, the more difficult it becomes to really collaborate in a meaningful way.
Do you find it's different for the younger generation? It seems that the younger generation is more tuned into screen time, and they're more comfortable doing everything virtually. While older people, we're not trained that way. Do you have different types of ideas and programs on how to interact for younger people than older people, or is it not an age related issue for you?
Well, it's interesting, Howard, because you're bringing up two very different thoughts here. You're bringing up the one idea, which is, are the younger generations, and you use the word comfortable, you know, are they more comfortable? And yes, they are more comfortable with technology because, you know, I often joke, many of them came out of the womb and I think they were holding an iPad and an iPhone and they were texting as they arrived. And so they are more comfortable. However, what is fascinating is that with your millennials and your Gen Z, they really want that in-person mentoring. They want that in-person time for leadership development. There's been some research and in 2023, 81% of employers have said they're planning to do more events and training in person because they're realizing that if they do this in person, it is a great retention strategy. Employees are saying, hey, I'll stay put if you invest in me in ways that we gather for something that is meaningful. You know, the younger generations, and I think even the older generations, no one wants to drive into an actual workplace, sit by themselves all day long in an office, and then go home, because we realized we can do that asynchronous work at home. Let's come together and have the synchronous work when we need each other, when we rely on each other. Let's get in a room and collaborate and strategize, have trainings together, have our in-person meetings that have deep value for how we are moving a project forward. Let's be in the office to do that. And then people are very happy of all generations to have that asynchronous time where you can choose. You can choose to be in the office because it is open, or you can choose to do that at home.
Do you find that in the pre-COVID world, people would come to the office 5 days a week, generally, most people. In a post-COVID world, I find in my business, it's a negotiation. We're going to come in 2 days a week or 3 days a week. And, very few companies, I think, still have people coming in post-COVID 5 days a week. Do you find that in the industries that you represent, that they're still doing a hybrid kind of a situation? Is that going to change?
Across the board right now, it is hybrid, unless you have, those in healthcare. They really need to be in the workplace, right, in the office. So there are those industries where you have to be there in order for the work to continue, you know, construction, things like that. But for the other industries, it is still very much hybrid. And I think, you know, this is the first time this has happened ever, right? This is right. Global.
Yes.
And it's the first time we are experiencing this. So I think there is still a lot that is to be determined. And I think, you know, each year when we look at where we started in 2020 and now where we are and what we're looking at moving forward, something that is going to impact moving forward 2024 and onward is that the Surgeon General has just released a report that loneliness is now an epidemic in the U.S., that it is at an epidemic proportions. And so when we look at loneliness is happening and it has increased exponentially because we are now working at home alone and many people live alone. And so that camaraderie and that connection that feeds our brain and gives us the oxytocin and the dopamine that we need and gets us wired to think in a different way and collaborate and strategize differently when we are actually physically around people. If we are alone all the time or more often than we were used to, that is now changing our brain. We are now experiencing loneliness, which we know decreases productivity, it decreases creativity, and it decreases happiness and the morale in general. So we're going to have to watch where this goes and really see how this plays out.
So do you encourage your clients and to get their people to be in the office more and to be in groups more live? Is there a push to that? Is that something that's increasing, or is that something that is pushed back and it's just never going to change?
There's been a huge increase in a couple of different areas. There is a very high increase in organizations who take their teams on offsites, or as we often call them, a retreat. That is very big because it allows an organization to set, again, what are the goals for the year? What are the goals for these teams? How do we better support each other? If we're working on trust, if we're working on leadership and better communication, that happens. Again, the seeds are planted at these offsites, and then it grows by having programs to continue to develop leadership, which is key in organizations. And that is a common thread that we come together and we gather to have these programs, which may take place two or three times a month. It may be once a month. Each organization that I work with, it's a little different. We do some high level group and individual coaching. And then we do, again, these leadership programs based around the curriculum of building out mental fitness and building out EQ and building out clear communication and conversational intelligence and all these components of what really transforms a team and what really transforms leadership within an organization.
And particularly in the sales area, it seems to me, other than the interaction between employees, most companies have a sales arm, they're selling some product or other. For them to go out and to sell a product, I would think that their salespeople, it's very difficult to sell it online. You have to be out there, meet the people that you're trying to sell to. Has that changed in terms of how we do sales in this country?
Well, it's interesting. I work a lot with folks in the insurance industry, and there are many in the insurance industry who have stated they will never take an in-person meeting again because it can be done, you know, in a way where you're now utilizing Zoom. Zoom has become a preferred tool for so many people. And so it is done in that way. There are others that say they want to continue, you know, other industries. When you look at folks in finance, another industry I work with quite often, that tends to be split. I have those that say, hey, this is the greatest thing that's happened, and we're able to have more meetings, again, because we're able to do this virtually. And then I have others that say, hey, I want that face-to-face and that person-to-person. And so if my clients want that, and there are many clients who do still like to do business in that way, then again, they're back in the office or they are coming to you. So I think it is kind of changes as we move around varying industries as to what it is that people are finding work best for them.
And it used to be, I used to go to two or three conventions a year. The various industry conventions. And I think there aren't as many conventions anymore. Is that a function of the pandemic that's going to be a permanent change? Or it was always it was a great thing. And I always look forward to going to conventions and meeting all these people and being in the same room. Is that a thing of the past these days?
Well, there still are conferences and conventions. They're both similar yet a little different there. So there are many. I think what we've seen is we have seen those that perhaps did not add a tremendous amount of value have fallen by the wayside a little bit. Those that really continue to add value, within a specific industry are continuing. There was one last year that I spoke at, and it is all around IT and cybersecurity. And prior to the pandemic, I think their number had been around 300, the low 300s that had attended that particular conference. And then they were out for 2020. Again, it was virtual 2021. And then last year for 2022, it was almost 700 women that had gathered.
Wow,
and
that's
they are,
great.
They are, yes, and they are expecting over 1,000 in growth for this year. So those conferences that really add value, those are growing exponentially. And then some of the smaller ones are falling by the wayside.
Now, I know that you're such an optimistic person. I don't think I've ever seen you without a smile on your face. But tell me something from this pandemic that you think is positive. Can you think of anything that's positive that came out of the what?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that overall for people in general, this was an opportunity to recalibrate and really look again at connecting to yourself, your values. I think what happened, especially in the U.S., although it, with all my travel, I have seen it, whether I've been in Asia, whether I've been in Europe, I see it globally, where we were all so addicted to consistently feeling we had to be on our devices for everything that we do, the importance of posting every photo, the importance of I must check my emails as I'm walking through the Louvre Museum. I mean, this consistency of feeling that we were tethered constantly to being on technology and so disconnected from the moments that we were missing with family, with friends, and even with ourselves. You know, you spend a lot of money to go to a conference, you spend a lot of money to travel and have adventures, again, with family, friends, and yourself, and then to constantly be on a device. What the pandemic did, because we were all shut down and we couldn't go out and enjoy and participate in life the way we had been used to, it allowed for the recalibration and the regrouping of, hey, what am I doing here? Am I really spending time, my free time, the way I want to? What can I change? What can I shift? And I know so many people started to look at money differently. They started to look at how they spend money on, am I really doing the adventures? Am I really doing something that matters to me? Or am I accumulating a lot more stuff than I need? Am I spending time wisely with friends? Am I developing myself in the best way possible? Which is why within organizations, now being on the other side of the pandemic, people are saying, I want you to invest in my leadership development. I want you to create and bring programs in for my mental fitness and my resiliency so that I can manage stress better and I can manage overwhelm with science-based tools. And so this was a great opportunity for us to really connect to ourselves and start connecting to others in a different way that has become, I believe, transformational in the most positive way.
I knew you would say something positive. You always got something positive to say. And let's talk about your business in particular. I know before the pandemic, you were one of the most in-demand speakers at conferences and other functions. Companies brought you in for live sessions. How has this affected your business and how you're doing, you personally are doing business in the future?
Well, it impacted me. Again, with full transparency, I think I lost, it was around 90 to 95% of my income within 48 to 72 hours in 2020. It was really devastating. All the canceled contracts for, again, these 9 and 12 month programs within organizations and many conferences that canceled. And so those speaking opportunities. And I viewed that as a year to, again, recalibrate myself, dive deeper into my business, really work with my team on what that output looks like moving forward. And it allowed me to give. So I decided that 2020 was my year of service. And so organizations and women's groups and nonprofits who normally could not afford my services, it became a year of giving and being of service in the best way possible. And then 2021 started to shift. And then 2022 and then 2023. And so what has been booming this year is, again, these company offsites and retreats and companies investing in their people to bring in these longer term engagements where they are bringing in a mental fitness program for 9 or 12 months. They are bringing in a leadership program for, again, making a commitment with their people for a year to really help them level up in all the areas of what we have called soft skills. And I've never liked that term. There is nothing soft about being able to clearly communicate your message or resolve conflict. There's nothing soft about that. These are human-centric skills that now organizations are really finding so much value in having their people trained in these capabilities so that business is smoother and they, again, can strategize and innovate much better. And again, this becomes profit for everyone. When we know for a fact that when you invest in your people and you put people over profit, that your profit increases exponentially.
So do you find a difference between different size? I know you work with industries of smaller companies and larger companies and some Fortune 500 companies. In terms of how much a company is willing to invest, I'll call it in the happiness of their employees or the betterment of their employees in the workplace. Do you find it's different for larger companies than it is for smaller companies? Does that have any function?
Well, there are a lot of family-owned businesses that I work with as well that are third generation, and they are starting to look at things a little differently as well. I think prior to the pandemic, we were really experiencing that second to third generation where third generation wanted to bring in more of the social media. And again, their strategies and ideas were very different than second generation. And there wasn't the weaving together of that. And what I'm seeing there is that there is more opportunity and more openness to bring those generations together and really create a clear path forward. And so that is, again, that is one outlook and one way. And then the larger organizations, it's really about the impact of these longer term engagements and leadership programs. So similar goals, which is streamlining a company done at a very different level based on a very different market. Does that make sense?
Howard? Yeah, I have an experience in my own, in our law firm, that we've had a lot of turnover, particularly in younger associates. And for us to be competitive, it's not just a question of the dollars. If we're not making it a happier workplace, they're not going to stay. I talk about it being a generational Gen Z type of a situation, and they just look at the world that being successful monetarily isn't the only thing that they care about, which is generally what law firms, you know, look at and what they entice people to become a partner. A lot of them don't want to become partners. A lot of them would rather have a nicer lifestyle and not deal with it. And I think that's, you know, true that that to be competitive, a lot of industries, certainly the service industries like lawyers and accountants, but I think other industries have to adjust. And we can't ask our employees to just adjust to us, which is what we did in the past. You come to work for us, you're going to do this. I remember I had a situation recently just before the pandemic, which I thought was outrageous, that I interviewed a guy who was terrific credentials, be a great lawyer. And I asked him, do you have any questions? And he says, well, I like to work with my headphones in listening to music. And I said, well, we wouldn't do that here because, you know, we want you to pay all attention to what you're doing. And, you know, I don't think that you could think and pay attention if you're listening to music. I thought it was such an outrageous question. Now we're saying, well, how about you just keep a plug in one ear so it's not in both ears? And we had to make changes. And I think that's what a lot of companies have to do.
Well, to your point, I would ask you, and this has been because I've done several longer term engagements, both in Washington, D.C. and New York City law firms, again, around these strategies of what do we do with leadership and how can we retain those within our organizations. And the music, there is actually research, Howard, that music can increase our productivity. So it depends on what type of music someone is listening to. And so the conversation may move forward in a different way by asking someone, hey, I'm curious, what type of music do you like listening to? And do you feel that it does motivate you and keep you more productive? And having a conversation along those lines, because again, music, depending on the music, it really can increase our focus and increase our productivity. So understanding what an individual's needs are and the why behind it allows us, when we come from a place of curiosity with our teams, it allows us, one, to get to know people a lot better, and we often find those commonalities, which is very important within the workplace. It also allows you to understand that, hey, maybe this is something that we need to look at, because again, if it increases someone's productivity and keeps them focused, then that becomes a positive. So different ways for different generations to work. And again, it's something that you may not do, and it's something that for someone else, generationally speaking, becomes something that is a good thing.
I'm curious, you said that you asked them what type of music they listen to. Does it matter? I mean, what would you say is music that's appropriate, and what music wouldn't be appropriate? Is it hip-hop or jazz? What would be appropriate to be listening to that would not detract from the workplace?
Well, we know from music that when there is music that is what has been sometimes called angry music, that has a lot of cursing in it, that has a lot of negative words and thoughts behind certain groups of people, we know that actually has a negative impact on us and our bodies. We know that soothing music, we know that classical music actually is very relaxing, which is why when you think about going into sometimes a medical office, you think of going into other offices where there might be some music playing that is soothing, it relaxes you. That's why that music is playing. It's really having that conversation to understand the person, because that will share a lot with you. If someone really likes angry music, that may not be the best fit for your firm for many reasons. Music is the least of your concerns at that point. So really getting to know the person and understanding what it is that they want and the why behind it can give you a lot of valuable data.
That's fascinating. I never thought of it in the type of music. I'm sure that I'm sure that does make sense. But it kind of highlights to me how it's more of a partnership than having an employer-employee relationship. You have to find a common ground with the employees. We never discussed this. This was never an issue pre-COVID, at least for my company. Did you find that it's just me, or did companies care about these things pre-COVID, the happiness of the employees to the extent that they have to do now?
Some companies did, and I will say that the majority did not. And what we are now realizing is that the newer, the younger generations, their focus is very different than the older generations. It doesn't mean one is right and one is wrong. We very often get into that battle, which is what pits the generations against each other in the workplace. This is the first time we have five generations together in the workplace, and we don't want to under or overvalue any one particular generation, right? We want to be curious about every generation, and then we want to find where we can build out those commonalities. And so the younger generations, we know that Gen Z, the social impact is very, very important. So, there are some companies that realize they have a high percentage of Gen Zs within that particular company. So they are very conscious about, you know, how much plasticware is utilized in the lunchroom or the commissary. They're very, very aware of that. And they're very aware of having, again, all the ways that you can recycle and all the bins for that. Whereas we didn't think as much about that 10 years ago. And there were some organizations before the pandemic who didn't think about that really at all. And so there is that shift of, okay, let's create a group internally. Let's have them be the focus group. Let's have them do some research and some work, and then let's see what we can implement from there. It's part of the reason, Howard, that you know, so many companies now have a day of community service, or they do, you know, two annually, where they go out into the community and they do something of service, because that really allows a team to bond together at deeper levels. And it also, again, the millennials and the Gen Zs, where this is important to them, it is the fabric of what they want in a workplace. There were other generations that didn't think about that just because they were following the patterns of their parents and grandparents in the workplace, and that wasn't done. And again, it doesn't mean we can't shift how we view the workplace and some of the values in the workplace.
Well, Holland, this has been very enlightening. I think it's been a terrific podcast. If someone wants to, if a company wants to hire you, or someone has more questions, can you give them contact information of the best way to contact you?
Sure. That would be through my website. And it is my name. You can find me on LinkedIn as well. Everything is through my name. So very simple. My name is spelled Holland, H-O-L-L-A-N-D, just like the country. And then my last name is Haas, H-A-I-I, double I's, S, like Sam. So double L's in Holland, double I's in Haas.
Well, if anyone out there is having trouble dealing with their employees in this new world, Holland would be a great choice to contact. She knows this business, and as you can see from this podcast, she has very definite ideas, and they've been very successful. So, Holland, I want to thank you for participating in this today, and I look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Howard. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.